Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schugel.
We are going to be joined this morning by Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director of the Rappahannock Area Health District. Dr. Stern, good morning. It is a pleasure to have you here this morning. I look forward to this next hour of just getting an update from your perspective on what's going on with everything in the area. Good morning, and right off the bat, thank you for what you and your staff are doing right now to the in the community.
Oh, good morning to you, Ted. It's my pleasure, and thank you for this opportunity to speak to the community about coronavirus.
I guess right off the bat, we should start and talk about the fact that this is not the flu. I think in some of the early days there was that whole debate about this, what kind of flu it was, and you've been very clear about this, that this is not the normal flu that we see pass through the region this time of year.
Correct. This is not the flu. This is a very different organism. COVID-19 is a coronavirus, whereas flu is a different type of virus. What's interesting is that they do appear as a similar type illness, although there are some subtle differences. But most folks, none of us would really be able to tell the difference whether I have a flu or coronavirus. So we do advise that folks, particularly those who are elderly or have some underlying medical condition, if they have flu-like symptoms, they should go ahead and get tested or check with their physician and get advice from their medical provider.
When does the reason develop that I should all of a sudden feel concerned and feel like I ought to be tested or at least talk to a physician about my symptoms?
That's a good question, Ted. Most people are going to handle this fairly well. It actually is about 80% of this disease is asymptomatic or mild to moderate disease. And for most young folks, I'd say those less than 40 years of age, you're going to handle it fairly well. And recover in a week or two. However, those folks who are older or have some underlying medical condition, some chronic pulmonary disease, heart disease, liver, kidney disease, immune compromise disease, or like on cancer chemotherapy that reduces their immune response, those are the folks that should be more careful. So this generally starts out as a subtle cough, a fever, and then it develops into more of a shortness of breath. And then there's this other group of symptoms that are less common, decreased appetite, headaches, body aches, maybe a sore throat or diarrhea. I had one patient who on day one just started with this kind of subtle cough. She didn't think much of it. She thought maybe, her allergies or maybe just a mild cold. Mm-hmm. Went on to work. By day three, she and her supervisor thought, well, maybe you ought to take the day off. Came back to work on day seven, but put on a mask while she's at work. Still just kind of a subtle cough. Day nine, the cough got worse. Day 10, she developed a fever. Day 11, she got tested, now feeling kind of weak, loss of appetite. And by the next day, she was in the hospital. And by day 17, she was home. But that, it starts out as this very kind of subtle. So folks who have a different cough, stay home.
Yeah.
Don't go to work. Don't go out in public. And for the elderly and, again, those with underlying medical conditions, that cough, and especially if they get a fever over 100, get checked out.
And the story you just told is so, because in all the stories, you read all of these different cases, and they all vary so much. And I think, and also the ages. It's been interesting that the health district here, the Rappahannock Area Health District, when you came out and broke down the various ages of the people who've tested positive for this, it was interesting that it's skewed younger than I would have thought.
Well, yes, but these may be those individuals who, of course, get the symptoms, but still look at the data. Less than 75 folks under the age of 40 have died from this disease in America. The majority of these, I think it's like over 65% of the deaths, have been to those over the age of 50. Actually, over the age of 65, I think, is the statistic. So those are the folks that we need to be concerned about more so. But everybody needs to be concerned not just about their own health, mm-hmm. but think about the health of the other. Young folks who may get this disease and handle it well can transmit this disease to other people. So they need to be very careful, because a lot of this disease, again, is asymptomatic. So you may be infected and not even know it. That's why we ask folks in public to put on a mask. It's not for your protection. It's for the protection of the of other people that you're around from you transmitting the virus to them. So it's not about you. It's about the people you're around.
We're seeing more and more face masks, and it was a couple of weeks ago that you recommended that we start doing it. Where should we wear it? Should we wear it always when we're outside, or what are some of the parameters you think is when should we wear a mask?
Wear a mask when you're around other people.
Okay.
You know, it's fine to go outside and go for a walk or ride your bike or do other activities outside. But when you get around people, and that is within 6 foot distance, because that seems to be kind of the parameter at which this virus then is transmitted to others. When you're around other folks, within 6 foot distance, 10 minutes or greater, there's a greater chance for this virus to move from one person to the next.
I see sometimes people. I've seen people on bikes with them. I've seen people driving in their car with them, and I think some people wear them all the time. I think that's good. That's a good indicator of when you mentioned just to wear it when you're around other people.
Right. Exactly.
Dr. Donald Stern here this morning, the acting director of the Rappahannock Area Health District. We are talking about COVID-19 this morning. Lots of good stuff and lots more to talk about. When we come back, we'll talk. One of the Richmond area has been especially plagued with nursing homes and in situations there. We'll get into that when we come back. Dr. Donald Stern here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District, is our special guest this morning, and by phone, as all guests are these days. Boy, Dr. Stern, we talked about a week ago, and you mentioned to me then that the local numbers would, as more testing increased, we would see an increase in the local numbers, and we certainly have, really since last weekend, the numbers continue to go up locally.
Yes, that's true, Ted. We are on what would be considered the upslope of this communicable disease in our area and across the state. You can still see these numbers rising every day. Interesting thing to me is that the rate of rise continues to increase. When we first got into this, 3 weeks ago, we were seeing one or two new cases a day. And a case is an individual who has a positive COVID-19 laboratory test. Then it went to, you know, by the end of the week, it was about 5 cases a day. Then the next week, it was 5 to 10 cases a day. Now it's up to about 15 to 20 new cases a day that are coming in. And So this shows us that the rate of rise in the number of new cases is on the increase, and we're nowhere near, I don't think, the plateau yet.
I guess so. You're looking at each day at those numbers and wanting to see when that plateau will occur, I guess.
Sure. But as we look at these numbers, Ted, we need to remember that, again, these are only the positive test results. And the research shows that about 80%, 80, 85% of this disease is asymptomatic or mild to moderate. So as I report out the numbers that for now we have over 200 cases in the Rappahannock Area Health District, which, by the way, includes Stafford, King George, Caroline, Spotsylvania counties, and the city of Fredericksburg. So that's Planning District 16, a total of over 200 positive cases now. But if that's only 20% of the disease burden in our community, the other 80% are those who are either asymptomatic, tolerating the disease fairly well, don't feel like they need to go get tested or see their provider, never are tested. So we probably have in the Rappahannock Area Health District over 1,000 cases of individuals with COVID-19. So we all have to consider that wherever we are, that person may have this disease and you don't know it. And that's why, or you may have the disease. That's why it's important to put on the mask to prevent the spread of this disease. And again, I'm going to repeat it again. Particularly protecting our elderly and our those who have underlying medical conditions.
And that's why I guess in these days it is so important, like you have said a number of times already this morning, about those people with the elderly or the underlying conditions people, they need to stay out of harm's way, and it's important for them to stay at home and just out of the way of things.
Right. Not only do they need to stay at home, but people need to stay away from them. And it's a shame. You think about our long-term care facilities. They've all discontinued any visitation, and even when somebody becomes ill, you can't go in and help and take care of your mother, your father, your uncle. This becomes then that much more stressful for those individuals who may be ill, much less family members. But it's good communicable disease control practice. My major concern right now is if this virus gets into one of our long-term care facilities, that will cause trouble.
Well, and we have seen that with the facility in Henrico, and it's been horrifying to watch it, and I have seen some of and some of the reactions of family members have been what mine would have been at the beginning. You'd think, as this all started, you'd think of a loved one in one of those facilities, and you think, well, at least they're safe there, and that's a scary thought.
Well, this one facility in Henrico County, as you mentioned, has had over 40 deaths in one facility. Can you imagine? That would overwhelm one hospital.
Yeah.
So we're working closely with our long-term care facilities. There's 21 long-term care facilities in our community. And one of the things your local health department has done is we've communicated with all of those facilities. We've offered them the CDC and VDH guidelines in regards to infection control in the long-term care setting. We've offered fit testing for the N95 masks. In fact, we did that this Tuesday. 20 of 21 long-term care facilities were represented, had a representative come to that training so that they could learn how to do that and then provide that for their staff. And then we gave them a lot of personal protective equipment, masks and gowns. So we're trying to work closely with them. We are doing an assessment of each one of those facilities in our community. There's a tool that that the state gave to all long-term care facilities to do a self-assessment. We're looking now at all of those self-assessments, trying to determine which facilities may need more help or more guidance or assistance. And we'll be working with them more closely next week to assure or try to assure that our elderly are protected in these long-term care facilities.
But that is, it is, but and thank you for that, because that kind of training, I guess you hope that kind of training is preventative and you can head any problems off.
Sure. You think about the facility in Henrico County. This is one of the more, shall I say, upscale long-term care facilities. You know they're under good management. You can't imagine why something like this would happen in such a fine facility. Well, it displays how this virus gets around. This virus didn't drop out of the air. It didn't crawl through the night and get under the beds of those patients. It came in either from one of their employees, and so it's a person-to-person transmitted disease. So one of the employees brought the organism in, or you know, a lot of those patients are going out of the facility for hospital care and then coming back. And that may be another way it got into the long-term care facility. But paying attention to our long-term care facilities is one of our focus in the public health department. We've been employing, our traditional strategy in communicable disease control. And I would say these are the hidden heroes of our healthcare system, because you know the hospitals and healthcare workers like that are pretty high profile. Every time you see on the news something being done about communicable disease and caring for these patients is pictures of doctors and nurses in the hospital or in an emergency room. Well, we have a number of staff who are the hidden heroes. Who, for example, we have a call center that's taking anywhere from 30 to 60 calls a day, responding to people's concerns and questions about COVID-19. Our traditional public health approach to communicable disease includes case identification and then case contact workup. So when we get a report of a positive case, and by the way, all providers and laboratories in Virginia are required to report a positive lab report to their local health department. So we get that data. We then contact that individual. We do an interview. We do a risk assessment to determine the risk of other folks in the household or the workplace, whether they may be at high risk for transmission of this disease. Following that interview, then we contact all those contacts, those who are high risk, and give them guidance about quarantine and what they need to do in order to protect their health. When you get 20 of these a day, this is a huge amount of work for our staff right now, and they're staying on top of it. They're doing a marvelous job. About 44% of all my staff, I have about 100 folks in the Rappahannock Area Health District, 44% of them are directly involved in COVID-19. We've had to divert our staff from our routine public health services. We've streamlined those, cut them down to the minimum services, and have diverted their time. Plus, the Medical Reserve Corps, which is a group of volunteers organized through the state's Medical Reserve Corps effort. And we have a local Medical Reserve Corps coordinator who's recruiting volunteers. And they've been a tremendous help to us doing this workload. The other thing we do, Ted, the other focus is public relations and communications, because how do we, talk to our patient? The public health department, we see our patient as being the community. So how do we talk to our community but through media outlets such as yours? So we thank you for this opportunity to talk to our patient.
Yeah, no, I never thought about you. You are talking to the patient this morning. Now that I did want to ask you about that. That's fascinating to me. I mean, you really become a detective once you get these people, and they test positive, and going from there and to find out all of this out. It's time consuming, and just tracking people down. It's a big effort, but it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have substantial cooperation with the medical community that when we have a positive case, we generally know where they are. We have a phone number. And most of this work is not done on the street. It's done on the phone and through email communication. So these are valuable tools for us. Ted, most of these folks are being isolated at home. They're not in the hospital. Most of our positive cases, we've been able to isolate at home, give them guidance about how to protect themselves and protect others from transmission of the disease, and then we track them while they're at home, and they're monitoring their own health as well.
If my name came up, if somebody tested positive and my name came up that I had been with them a day ago, you then would contact me and say that, you know, I was in close contact with a person, and then I guess you're alerting me then would depending, I guess, how close I was to the person, would I be asked to isolate?
Right. The investigation begins with that positive report. So we would talk with the individual who had the positive test and get a list of folks that they've been around, either in the home or the workplace. And this gets somewhat detailed in regards to how proximate that contact has been. If a person has been in your office, has that been more than 10 minutes? In the meeting room or in the conference room, has that contact been within 6 feet for more than 10 minutes? Those people may be then considered those who are higher risk. Then we would call you. We would get contact information. And give the contact a call and say, you've been, it's come to our attention that you've been in contact with an individual who's positive for COVID-19. And we need to talk with you about how to protect your health and what steps you need to take to either move on if you're symptomatic. Of course, the interview would consider, you know, we would talk to them about whether they have any symptoms or not. And then what they need to do, and that is, it's not isolation. Isolation is what we do for folks who have the disease. Quarantine is what we do with folks who we don't have a positive test on, but may be a high-risk contact, so we quarantine them. The guidelines are a little bit different, but
okay.
You hear those terms, those yeah. Two terms mixed. So isolation for folks who are sick with a positive test. Quarantine is for those who otherwise may be at risk for transmission based on our interviews.
Good stuff. Isolation and quarantine. That's interesting to know that there is a significant difference. Dr. Donald Stern here, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. We need to take a quick break. Much more coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Donald Stern in this morning, the acting director of the Rappahannock Area Health District. Dr. Stern, as you have described a lot of, as we've described various situations in how the virus spreads, it is apparent that every single day we need to practice the just prevention, because all it takes is one slip up and I can become one of those numbers.
That's correct, Ted. You know, I mentioned earlier about some of the things the health department is doing to prevent the spread. So, you know, the health department, the Rappahannock Area Health District, is playing a vital role to prevent the spread of COVID-19, but so can your listeners. And this is a vital message that the listeners understand their role in preventing the spread of this disease. We all know this is somewhat burdensome. You know, staying at home, closing business. I had a business owner call this week and asked if he could open up his business. He thought he would be able to provide the proper amount of social distancing and protect his customers and his employees. But the governor has made it very clear in regards to only essential businesses can stay open, and encouraging people to stay home, because this disease is a person-to-person transmitted disease, and we don't want the uptake in this disease to overwhelm our healthcare system. One of the major reasons why the governor has chosen to use such extreme measures to prevent the spread of disease, which, by the way, in my 40 years of public health, I've never seen anything like this. The reason why is because, well, we see what happened in Italy. The healthcare system became overwhelmed, and people are lining up in the hallway and not getting the treatment that they need in order to help preserve their life. So the response in America has been, extreme and burdensome, but stay home, please. Stay home, especially those of you who are sick need to stay home and take care of yourself. Secondly, this is whole social distancing concept, keeping a distance from folks, wearing these cloth masks that we've advised. If you're out in public, put on a mask. That is not for your protection per se. It's to protect the people that you're around because you may have the virus. Hand washing. I mean, how many times, we've preached hand washing around the flu. People remember the flu campaign.
Yeah.
Hand washing, hand washing, hand washing. And, that's most people don't realize if you actually measure the amount of time you spend washing your hands, it's probably not adequate. We're saying 20 seconds soap and water. Frequently cleaning and disinfecting contact surfaces. Now, if my wife and I were at home, nobody's coming in and out, we're not going anywhere, we don't have to clean everything every day. But if you've got people coming in and out, or you're going in and out with the possibility of others' contact surfaces, and this is important for businesses, for example, the grocery store, they're constantly cleaning those counters. Checkout counters, so on and so forth, because this disease is not only transmitted through respiratory droplets, it's transmitted as the virus drops on and settles on, or we touch contact surfaces, such as doorknobs, etc. So it's important that there be frequent cleaning and disinfection of those type of contact surfaces. And cover your cough. Cough into your elbow. Don't spread the virus throughout the air. These are common messages we've had, which are the same we've had for years around the flu campaign. Just pay special attention. Your listeners can help prevent the spread of this disease, preserve our healthcare system for those who need it most, and be a major and vital part of prevention of this disease.
I don't think I have washed my hands so much since this began, or even to be aware sometimes. It's an adventure for me when I go and pump gas now, just because I try to keep in mind what I don't want to be touching. And just the fact that I don't have as soon as I pump gas, I make sure I don't touch my face. I go straight home and wash and then clean things in the car. And you just don't want to take a chance.
Or Ted, what a lot of people are doing, this is what I do, I have some hand sanitizer. So I pump the gas, mm-hmm. get in the car, put a drop of hand sanitizer on, rub my hands, and I'm done. Hand sanitizer with, 60-70% alcohol base is fine. That'll work. And then you get on with life. But washing hands, good hand sanitizer is a very good alternative.
And I didn't realize how many times I touched my face. When you start thinking about that and you try to mentally not do it, you do realize just I think we all have learned a lot about how things are spread like this.
Right.
Dr. Donald Stern here this morning, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District. How will we know when it's when we'll be able to slowly reopen. Are there things that you and health officials are watching and can say, you know, we're headed in the right direction, we can do this?
Well, those who've been paying attention to the media, and particularly the governor's daily media announcement, there's a lot of talk about this and a lot of work being done at the federal level and at the state level trying to determine when the incidence of disease starts dropping off. You know, and that's at a point as we're going on the upslope of this disease that we can then start looking over the hill and start seeing the other side of the hill. When the disease incidence curves start to drop, that is, the frequency of disease starts to drop. Another important parameter is monitoring the demand for ICU care and use of ventilators. So we're tracking that data for our health district. We want to make sure that our healthcare system is not overwhelmed. So as the demand for as the disease incidence starts to drop, demand for ICU care or hospital care for COVID-19 and ventilator use begins to drop off. We know we're getting a handle on the spread of this disease, and then the governor will make a decision when and how we can start backing off of these more extreme measures to prevent spread. And that would probably start with allowing some businesses to start open. Oh my gosh, the impact of all of this on our economy is huge. I felt sorry for this businessman who wanted to open up his business, but first of all, I don't have the authority to tell a business they can open or close, except for restaurants that are under our permitting authority. Otherwise, I don't have that authority. But oh my gosh, this is so. How do you survive through these times? There's a lot of people out there in financial stress because of this issue. And we need to, as quickly as we can, turn our economy back on. But that's got to be done very carefully as we monitor the data. And the governor, the state health commissioner, and their team of folks are looking at this data very carefully and coming up with various models that will help them predict when that can be done.
I guess the other thing is on the medical side, those who are really studying COVID-19, every day they're learning more about this because it's being a new disease. I can't imagine how difficult that has been to try to get to figure out, and you still are trying to figure out some of its patterns and how it works.
True. It is a new virus. It's a new novel virus that's never been seen before. But, you know, we have seen a coronavirus before in the world. There was the Middle Eastern respiratory virus, MERS, and the SARS in the Arabian Peninsula some years ago. These were outbreaks of a corona-type virus. The SARS actually started in China. MERS was the Middle Eastern form of the virus. These were really bad bugs. They had like 2 to 10% mortality rate. But those viruses were able to contain those viruses, and they did not become pandemic. This is a different virus. It spreads much more easily. And you can imagine, you get a virus that originates in China. Chinese are prolific world travelers these days, and that virus got out and then went around the world very quickly.
Hmm. Well, a few minutes ago, when you said in your 40-some years in public health, you've never seen anything like this, I wanted to ask you about that because each day, as you watch it, you just feel like, you know, we're living in really historic times, unfortunately.
Well, Ted, this has been seen in America before. Most of us don't remember, but your listeners who were around in the 50s, remember when polio came to town? That was in the pre-vaccine days. And if there were an outbreak of polio in your town, they would close the theaters. They would close the swimming pools. Schools would be closed. So these kinds of extreme measures were employed in the past to prevent spread of disease. And in the 1918-1919 flu pandemic, that, by the way, was a really horrible bug. It didn't care how old you were. People of all ages were overcome by this disease. People of all ages died. There were 650,000 deaths in 1918-19 associated with the pandemic flu, the Spanish flu. But many cities during that outbreak would just shut down the city, shut it down. And there's some good studies now that have gone back and looked at the data and looked at the incidence of disease and the deaths in many cities across the United States during that outbreak. And it's interesting to see, for example, St. Louis, very early in the Spanish flu pandemic, shut the town down, closed businesses, they closed the town down. As compared to, for example, Philadelphia, that wasn't so aggressive. And you look at the data, there was a slower rate of rise of disease in St. Louis. So they actually were able to suppress the curve and a 20% reduction in mortality because of these measures as compared to other cities that did not, weren't so aggressive. So these aggressive measures to keep people at home, close businesses, so on and so forth, seem burdensome, but they will be helpful to us in preventing the spread of disease and preserving life.
Historical perspective on this is really interesting. That is good stuff, and it is good to know that and to look back at that and to see that. Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. We need to take a quick break, and we will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director with the Rappahannock Area Health District, here this morning. Again, Dr. Stern, really a big thanks to you and your staff. This is a lot of you are out of your comfort zone just with I know a number of people who work with the health district and have specific areas. And like you said earlier, a lot of you are working in a lot of different areas now, but you're providing great information in helping keep this area safe.
Well, thank you, Ted. I think it's important for folks to remember that they have a key role in preventing the spread of this disease, that COVID-19 is in our community and it's continuing to spread. In fact, again, the rise of incidence of this disease is on the increase. So we need to be aware of that and practice good social distancing and hygiene practices, as we summarized earlier. Staying home, especially if you're ill, using social distancing and wearing your mask when you're out in public around people, washing hands or using hand sanitizer frequently, and disinfecting, cleaning contact surfaces. Those are sound measures for all to employ. Your health department's here to help prevent the spread of disease and protect the public's health. But we can't do it by ourselves. Everybody has a role to play in these regards.
If I'm not feeling well, I guess my first, and especially if I've got a fever and a cough, I guess my first response needs to be to contact my doctor.
Well, especially if you're older or have an underlying medical condition, I would be more prone to then contact my medical provider and at least ask. Many folks with insurance will have a call line they could call and at least talk to somebody, or they could call the health department. They could call our helpline. Let me give out that number. It's 540 5404797. That's 540-899-4797. We have somebody available on the phone from 8 to 4:30 every day, and I'll be glad to address your questions. So if you're ill, for most folks, particularly those less than 40, they'll handle this disease fairly well. But if the cough becomes persistent, your fever begins to rise, especially over 100 degrees, that's a point in which I would contact a medical provider, again, especially if you're elderly or over 40, 50, or if you have some underlying medical condition.
And we're seeing more and more masks around the community. And you've when we're out and around to people, you have recommended, and others have too, to wear a mask.
Yes, sir.
The again, that number 5408994797. If you have any kind of questions that you want to ask, and again, this is it's transmitted by doing the things that you have outlined today. That's what's going to slow down and stop the transmission of this virus.
Yes, sir. That's right. The phone number I gave you is for public use, and it's available throughout the day. We do provide a call line for medical providers, and we've given that number to them so that 24/7, we're available to the medical community, long-term care staff, so on and so forth, to answer their calls and addressing issues that they may have as well.
Wash your hands and just stay out of the public for right now. It's a good time to get projects done in your house. And I look at the numbers, and the Stafford numbers are so much higher than anywhere else. And I think and you look at the Northern Virginia numbers, and they're high. And I just think if social distancing and staying home weren't the case, these numbers would probably around here be even much, much higher.
Right. So the measures that people are employing, the guidance from the governor's office, and people's individual decision-making in these regards is very important. So just be mindful of how the disease is transmitted. Use reasonable practicality. And one of the funniest things I saw on Facebook was this man who was grocery shopping had a very large, clear plastic bag that he was able to cover his entire body in, and then he tied it off the top with an air tube coming out the top. You don't need to go to those extreme measures. wear your mask if you're out in public. Minimize that contact out in public. Stay home, again, especially if you're sick, and consider others and not just yourself in these regards.
5408994797. Again, if you have questions and want to ask it of the health district from 8 until 4:30, Monday through Friday. Again, Dr. Stern, thank you so much. We will talk to you again soon, hopefully next week, just to get updates and to talk about this. You really can't talk about it enough. We all need to be careful. We all need to just stay away and stay home for the next little while. Thank you again for what you and the health district is doing in the community.
Yes, sir. We're doing our best to help develop a healthy community.
Dr. Donald Stern, the acting director of the Rappahannock Area Health District. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.